Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. I'd like to look at three verses, 13, 14, 15. Proverbs 26, verse 13 says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." Now, this book, being the book of wisdom, God blessed Solomon with wisdom. And this book, being a book that we desperately need to hear, is a book in which we find the Spirit of God moving upon Solomon to give great instruction to this characteristic of slothfulness or slothfulness, either one's right. And as I read these verses of Scripture about this slothfulness, laziness is what it is. It's, if these verses could only be applied to the unregenerate, boy, what a comfort that would be for all believers. Because if that was only the law, only that spirit of laziness, slothfulness, that would be grounds for us to all say, boy, I'm thankful I'm not as other men are. I'm glad I'm not like that. I don't doubt for one second. I know for a fact. I know that the unregenerate is lazy, slothful when it comes to possessing any heart of obedience before God. But this is the reason. He's dead. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And that spirit of laziness, it's an amazing thing that men justify laziness, especially before God. Hold your place there. Turn to the book of Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Lord giving this example, this illustration. Luke chapter 14 and verses 16 to 20. Luke 14, 16. "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so, man by nature has a spirit about him of slothfulness, laziness. It's just excuses. Felix and his wife heard the Apostle Paul preach in the book of Acts, and Paul preached concerning the faith in Christ. He preached concerning righteousness, that righteousness is in Christ Himself and not in man's works. He preached of temperance, that is, that we walk striving, believers do. We strive walking after obedience to the Lord. And he spoke of judgment to come, that every man is going to surely stand before God and going to give an account. The books are going to be opened. And the scripture says that Felix, hearing these things, trembled. Though dead spiritually, man still has a conscience. There's a conscience that's in every man. They know that there is a God. They know that. And he said to the Apostle Paul, here's that spirit of slothfulness. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Now listen, all of us need to hear this. Oh, the danger of procrastination. Faithfulness to Christ, and I'm talking to all of us here. Faithfulness to Christ is by Adam's fall in the garden, yes, but by our own willful disobedience and sin. Faithfulness to Christ is a hindrance to the slothful man. It's just a demand that has no place in the lifestyle of man born in Adam. That's just, we're born like that. We're just born having a heart that desires separation from the things of God. What did Adam and Eve do as soon as they ate? As soon as Adam ate, what happened? They hid themselves. They hid themselves. Man may speak of loving the Lord. Ask anybody, do you love the Lord? I do. But his path, his walk is always paved with good intentions. And whenever time is better, whenever I have a little bit more convenient time, I'll when I'm in a little bit better position financially, if I wasn't just a strapped, I just go from can to can. I just ran all day. I'm just beat. And listen, we're all like that. We're all. I mean, that old man is there. That reluctance to faithfulness and attendance with God's people to hear the word of truth demands that we give a reason. You know, I can't just let people think I'm slothful. I'm lazy. I can't do that. What does he say? Well, verse 13 of Proverbs 26 says, here's the answer. There's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. Never stopping to realize that the problem with slothfulness, that spirit with which we're all born, it's never a good reason. It's never a good reason. What good reason can a man give for unfaithfulness toward Christ? He who made us, who owned us. What good reason? There's a lion in the street. Scripture says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Now just stop and realize, just think about this. Now just think, okay, you got a door and you're looking at hinges. And you just open the door, you close the door, you open the door and you close the door. That hinge is moving. But it never progresses. He says that's the way the slothful man is on his bed. He's just... There's always an appearance of activity, but no progression. Slothfulness. He just stays. This is man by nature. He stays on his carnal bed of ease, justifying, I'm moving. I'm alive. But excuses. Verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. You know, if we watch somebody and we witness them put their hand in a plate, they took something out of a plate, and they wouldn't lift their hand to their mouth to eat it. You say, you know what? That has got to be the epitome of laziness. I have never seen. Does anybody here want? Would y'all please lift my hand and put this in my mouth? You know, you'd say to yourself, you starve. Starve. You won't even put it. That's the slothful man when it comes to the things of God. Now, just stop. I mean, the Spirit of God moved upon Solomon to tell us something about ourselves. This is us. We have here the Word of God. I'm sitting here preaching it. And I'm sitting here preaching and proclaiming the inspired Scriptures. And even while I'm speaking, I'm realizing in myself, do I grasp hold of truly what I'm saying? Is there not more of a hungering and thirsty and a realization if I grasp hold? Here is the power of God unto salvation, the proclamation of these divine truths. But I find myself, because of slothfulness, so easily making an excuse. Oh, now I can feast upon my own carnal desires and my own fleshly pleasures, and I'll gobble down the praises of men. No, you know, I'll savor my own morality. I'm as good as the next man. Somebody said, I wouldn't think that. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We do. At least I'm here. At least I showed up. But man by nature will not spiritually grasp hold of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because man by nature is slothful. The hearing of the gospel, the searching of the Scriptures and the closet prayer is a drudgery by nature that I just can't handle. The moment something else comes up that I can substitute, I'll jump on that. And when I have a more convenient season, I'll read. I'll hear, I'll pray. I mean, now let's be honest. I mean, if West Virginia's playing, I have no problem sitting down for 2.5-3 hours to watch a football game. I have no problem whatsoever. I'm just telling you the way I am. Oh, but when it comes to the Scriptures, when it comes to something else that feeds my flesh, no problem. Oh, but when it comes to that blessed time to be able to read and hear, there's a line in the streets. There's a line in the way. And to show you the truth of that Spirit still being with us, hold your place there again. Turn back. Turn to Song of Solomon. Turn over just a few pages toward the New Testament there. A couple of pages, 3 or 4 pages. Song of Solomon 5. Listen to this. Now here's Shulamite. Now I'm telling you that this Spirit is still with us, and the Scripture brings it out. Here again, same one that penned Proverbs penned Song of Solomon. Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2 and 3. I sleep. What did Shulamite just say? I'm slothful. I'm lazy. But my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of a night. Now I just read that, and I thought to myself, listen to what the Lord says to His bride. And if I be one of His own, that the Lord would say to me, open to me, Marvin, my love, my dove, my undefiled, made so by the precious imputation of the righteousness of Christ, Christ who bore my guilt, made it His very own, bore it in His own body, put it away, shed His precious blood on Calvary's tree before God, made Himself answerable for me, took my debt, that I might be with Him forever, that I might live with Him in glory, seated with Him in the heavenlies. Open to me, for my head is filled with dew. He'd been there saying this, I've been all night here. And my locks with the drops of the night. And listen to my answer by nature. You say, well, this is Shulamite. Shulamite's the bride. He's talking to his bride. And listen, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? There's a line in the way. There's a line in the streets. I don't have time. I need to read that passage again over and over because it reveals the truth that but for the grace of God, I would never admit to this. But for the grace of God. But it's an answer of honesty. One that truly knows and loves the Lord. The bride's not asleep totally to His voice, for her heart's awake to know Him, but she knows His voice in the Scriptures. She knows His voice when she hears it preached. She hears the gospel, and she beholds the providential workings, you know, concerning her, but it's an honest admittance to the coldness that we experience concerning the divine things, those things of God. And I tell you what it does to admit it, to know it, it just in your heart. If you didn't admit it, well, you're either dead or you're a liar. You're just God's people. No, they know. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. This is just the way I am by nature. And there's a battle that's going on. It's a war, and it's reality. But what it does, it drives us back to Him. Drives us back to the Master. And I tell you what a believer does. They see that, and they give diligence to make their calling and election sure, because He knows that if the things of God's fruit of God's Spirit dwells, they'll never fall. Let me tell you the greatest evidence. You know, I read that. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Let me tell you the greatest evidence of giving diligence to make your calling and election sure. John 6:37. I quote this all the time. But here's the greatest example. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now listen to this last part. Here's the evidence. And him that cometh to me. God's people never quit coming to Him. Never. They never. Coming to Christ is not a point in time in the past. Right now. Today is the day of salvation. I've told people before, I've had people ask me, said, well, I feel as though that I was, I feel as though, I said, look, that's water under the bridge. You're not going to change that. I cannot call back the breath I took 3 seconds ago. I can't call that back. I got to breathe right now. I got to have a breath right now. Him that cometh to me. Is there a desire to cast yourself upon Him? Him that cometh to me for mercy, for safety, for comfort, for life. Him that cometh to me. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. A believer knows that old man is still there with me, and I find myself lazy. I am lazy. I am. And I hate it. Why am I thus? Why, John Newton, why this dull and lifeless frame? Surely could they be worse? It's never heard His name. They can't be any worse than I am. Struggle. The Apostle Paul says, I keep my body, keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means after that I preach to others that I should be a castaway. Paul was saying this, I don't think lightly of these slothful, indifferent attitudes that I see. There's an old man there that hates that disobedience. It hates that spirit of disobedience. Job, I loathe myself. Paul feared after proclaiming to others the gospel that he himself should be found unapproved, unfit, and rejected. A believer doesn't take anything for granted. He does not. Lord, save me. He knows something about this war. He knows something of Him that He's committed His all to. I know that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And that attitude is found only by the grace of God. He knows the Lord's not going to forsake him. In closing, I want you to turn to Hebrews. And listen to this. Hebrews chapter 6. I started off saying this. You know, if this attitude was just one that's just found in an unbeliever, you know, we'd say, oh boy, I tell you what. Thank goodness I'm not like that anymore. There's an old man that's always been the same old man. Hebrews chapter 6. Now listen to this. That's what I'm saying. You say, you know, if I could just say those slothful unbelievers, those lazy unbelievers. Well, we'd need to go back and read what Shulamite had just said. But listen to this in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to warn us against slothfulness. And I do say it is a battle. We're born spiritually dead, making excuses for our spiritual laziness, always ready to, you know, foolishly brag upon ourselves concerning our faithfulness, and it just satisfied. But for the grace of God, satisfied to that endless just being a hinge upon our bed. We're born satisfied to make a show of faithfulness, We're born with a spirit that is too lazy to eat because we're really not hungry by nature. By nature. There's a new man there that does hunger and thirst. But that old man is still there. Oh, but if the Lord's pleased to cause a sinner to himself, giving him life in Christ, life from above. That sinner is found to be one who now loves Christ. He loves him. There is a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and he longs for that which he once avoided and despised. And when he comes to hearing the glorious message of the gospel, he's the one that says, "I'm glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord." So here's two ends of the spectrum. Here is a new man that sinneth not. And he does hunger and he does thirst. And there's that old man that Paul says, "I see in me, I see it. It's a body of death. And I hate it. I hate him. I despise him. I loathe myself." But now he's realizing, I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here kept by the grace of God. And as God has revealed me to be, that's the way I am. Believer, you're going to see that old man. You see him. You know you do. You see him. But thanks be unto God, he doesn't reign over you anymore. Sin shall not have dominion. He's there. He's there. And Paul cried, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He will. He will. Very soon, he'll receive us unto himself. And that old body of death won't be there anymore. Oh, until then, Lord, keep me. Lord, keep me. Keep me by your grace. Lord, thank you for being honest with me and teaching me of myself. And let me be patient, loving unto the Lord, loving to God's people, patient with them, understanding with them. Don't be looking at them with that holier-than-thou attitude as if we're not like that, because we are. I pray that the Lord bless these words, encourage us, His glory and our good. Amen.